Thank you very much, Gilbert, and thank you, Mr. Luker, for the opportunity to speak. To begin, please turn to the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3. Beginning in the 8th verse, God gives a command to his people. Therefore, wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms, to pour on them my indignation, all my fierce anger. All the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Lord, to serve him with one accord. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshippers, the daughter of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offering. In that day you shall not be ashamed for any of your deeds in which you transgress against me. For then I will take away from your midst those who rejoice in your pride, and you shall no longer be haughty in my holy nation, my holy mountain. I will leave in your midst a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness and speak no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed their flocks and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid. Here, as well as in numerous other places in Scripture, we are told to wait for God. Moreover, we are told that God is a jealous God, and that he requires us to worship him and only him. This point, I think, in the world today is sometimes lost. The reasons behind God's jealousy are many, but ultimately, God desires a family, and he desires that all mankind be in that family. To that end, we are given specific instructions in preparation for entry into that family. It is for this reason that we are told in Exodus 20 that God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, to serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. These first three commandments and the following Sabbath commandment explicitly state how we are to honor God and make clear our responsibility to worship God and only God. Though this point is clear and rather unambiguous, it would seem that this is also hard to follow. For in the world today, the concept of completely obeying one God, and only that one God, is not duly adhered to, and I find myself specifically susceptible to valuing other things more than God. This is too often true, and is an issue long battled with by those of our faith and by ourselves today. That we do not commit the same sins as ancient Israel, and that we do not make actual idols and worship them, we find ourselves pulled to commit that same idolatry in different ways. For me, in my experience of moving away from home and going away to school in Washington, D.C., the number of things that can take the place of God in my life has exponentially increased. This is true with regards to both legitimate and illegitimate pursuits. Indeed, it does not matter if we duplicate our sin by idolizing something sinful or if we idolize something pure. Anything that takes the place of God in our lives is wrong. This last point is true of every person, and that everyone is faced with the choice of valuing God the most or valuing something else the most. However, in my experience, this choice has become increasingly harder that I am now on my own, attending university rather far away. This is why I wanted to speak on this topic specifically, because as I have experienced my first year at university, and then was very fortunate to spend the summer in Romania volunteering, I have seen that the issue of placing God in his proper place in our lives is both difficult and simple at the same time. Difficult in that we must make the choice of esteeming God more than anything else in our lives every day, and simple in that we must only choose not to worship anything else but God. It is perhaps obvious, as our lives become more busy and more involved and more complicated, the opportunities for straying from God's way of life increase. For me, this has most definitely been true. I am most grateful that God has blessed me and allowed me to attend the George Washington University. The university is located in the neighborhood of Foggy Bottom in Washington, D.C. This area is where the State Department is and is where the World Bank and International Monetary Fund are located. My freshman dorm was located a little more than 3 blocks from the White House and quite close to Lincoln and World War II memorials. In addition, the level of academic challenge and the school in general has been quite high. My pursuit of degrees in international affairs and economics has not met any setbacks to date. However, with all these opportunities and great experiences come decisions, decisions which must be decided on the side of God's way of life rather than on the side of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I'm very appreciative of Mr. Holliday's frequent references to this idea. I chose to reference Mr. Holliday since he's not here today, for it is very effective in illustrating the choices before us. Indeed, it would seem that, specifically, the third quality of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is more at work in university, and that the concept of the tree being desirable to make one wise is more prevalent, but the other two aspects of the way of the flesh as opposed to the way of God are in abundant supply as well. Thankfully, I've also been blessed with a very good congregation in the D.C. area, with the minister, Mr. Hampson, and the rest of the congregation being very welcoming and being very nice. But in going to Romania over the summer, I was shown how much of a blessing having a congregation really is. For being without a place to go for services on the Sabbath is very difficult, but I was blessed to be able to access the internet and be able to take advantage of all that specifically this congregation has to offer, which is very nice and is much appreciated. Indeed, my time in Romania made the promises of God to Abraham vividly clear, because it is difficult to obtain perspective while in the United States concerning the blessings that we enjoy. However, this perspective is quickly gained when one goes abroad to a developing country. Romania is by no means the least developed country, but it is definitely a developing former communist country, handicapped by poor historical choices. During the communist period, one of the many problems in Romania was the system of state institutions, comparable in name to state orphanages in other countries, but in reality, they were very close to child prisons. The conditions were horrendous, but due to the repressive control of the state, none of this was acknowledged, and people continued to send their children to these institutions, believing that their child's life in one of these institutions would be better than the life that they could provide. However, after the revolution of 1989, the existence of these institutions was made known, and international efforts to alleviate the suffering of these children were begun. This is what the charity that I volunteered for, called Children on the Edge, does. They provide a number of services to these children, including a program that helps the teenagers, more or less, attempt to integrate into mainstream society after they leave the institutions at the age of 18 or so. Most of these children have grown up in orphanages all their life and have no skills that are needed in the mainstream society. The charity also attempts to provide counseling and other basic services, basic in every way, to the teenagers who have left the institutions. I helped specifically by designing a website for the Romanian projects of the charity, which was interesting given my limited knowledge of web design, but in the end, I was somewhat successful in creating the website, and they seemed to be satisfied. All of this, both my experience over the past year at university and my experience in Romania, point to the urgency of our relationship with God. This world, both here in this country and abroad, is deteriorating at an alarming rate, and the truth of God is needed more than ever. For these reasons, we must never forget the essential truth of God's way of life, and that it is a choice between following God or following one's own flesh. I have been told that a great man once emphasized the way of give versus the way of get. This is very true, and it applies to every human being. Rich or poor, living in a developed country or a developing country, at every level, everyone is capable of the same things. I saw this very clearly in Romania, and that many of the things that keep Romania underdeveloped, and it is quite underdeveloped, from corruption to a relatively poor understanding of personal responsibility and a concern for others, are very prevalent in our country as well. We are blessed to have this country descend from a people who, though they did not completely understand God's way of life, in their limited understanding, they strove to create a country that would be a city on a hill, a new Jerusalem on earth. However, just like the ancient Israelites, excellent heritage counts for very little when it is replaced with a system unmoored to any portion of God's way of life, but rather on human constructs. These constructs are stronger in the U.S. than in other places in the world, but they are destined to fail, because the scripture makes clear, specifically in 1 Peter 1, verses 24 through 25, that all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Therefore, it would behoove us to always remember that our lives are fully maintained by God. Even in our peculiarly blessed state, and is very blessed, living in this country, we are vulnerable. Vulnerable to the spirit of man, which wars against the spirit of God, and that the cares of this world, which seem so important in this life, can quickly come crashing down. Indeed, the uncertainty and fear that is prevalent in many parts of this earth will unfortunately soon visit this country as well, and we, or our posterity, will have the same choice, but in significantly more difficult circumstances than we have now, to either follow God or follow the dictates of our flesh. To strengthen ourselves in our task, it is perhaps good to remember Galatians 6 and verse 8. Which states, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Though difficult at times, we must choose everlasting life. I'd very much like to thank Mr. Luker again, and I would also like to take this opportunity to thank everyone in this congregation again for the wonderful gift package that was sent out during the Days of Living Bread. It was very nice, and it was very encouraging in a different time of the year, especially being by yourself in a university that doesn't really do that sort of thing. I wish everyone excellent fall holy days, and I look forward to returning as soon as I can, but I fear that won't be until the winter. Thanks.